John Norsterkenius. Did you want to come join our cult?
Oh, wow, that was definitely geek, though.
My lord!
Let's look into our crystal balls.
Our crystal balls?
Our crystal balls.
Boom, wink.
The finished conspiracy.
Some guy was going on and on about Corsi this, Corsi that. And
of course he was.
Yeah.
I was on a postage stamp.
Make it rain salty licorice.
We can make our own grapefruit video.
That sounds like my liver trying to escape out my anus.
It's a love affair.
Welcome to episode 160 of Three in the Box, your Underground Wild podcast. This episode has been recorded Monday, March
28th.
We're on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And we're also not in the studio.
Whoa.
Where are we?
Things are all weird.
We're at Sporty's.
Sportsman's Pub.
Yeah. We kind of got kicked out of our studio this week.
Yeah.
Somebody's not around.
You'll notice somebody is missing.
Somebody had to play pinball in Tokyo.
No.
We also have somebody.
We had to kick his butt.
So, with that, I am Kenny. You can find me, you know, as most for Kenny is. With me tonight is Jive, also known as Jive Midnight.
At Jive Midnight on Twitter, yep.
And we got Mr. Chris over on the other side of us across the table at...
I am Frosty Boy, and I am also Farn.
Yes!
And I am also Farn.
I am from the land down under.
Kind of.
Well, theoretically.
Where do we sleep while our beds are burning?
Oh, God. That's an Australian tune.
They're down under, too, right?
They're not oil, yeah, but I'm from further down under.
Oh, further down under.
Okay.
Yeah. So with that, boys.
With that.
We got some wild hockey to talk. I think we got some questions that people have asked.
Yeah.
And so in case you're wondering, we're doing this some weird experimentation right now. So if you're actually watching this video.
Yeah.
You got to spin around and see all of us.
Do the little spinorama.
And I will say.
Like Koivu didn't do last night.
Yeah, he did not do. If you got headphones on, throw them in, and make sure you're using Chrome, because then you can actually hear where we're coming from and where we're talking. So it's like you're almost right in the middle of our conversation.
Well, don't be in the middle of the conversation.
Well, they are in the middle.
But just listen to us.
Yeah.
All right. So let's go ahead and we'll get into the wild week. The wild week, what a wild week it was. First off, we handled Nashville pretty well here at the XL. Then we played a tight game against Boston. In the end, we ended up losing that one in OT.
Tied until the rat came out.
Right. And then we go down to Nashville and another... overtime loss in a low-scoring game. And I guess notable mention in the game last night against Nashville, one Mr. Stahl got his 40th goal of the season.
He did.
So quite a mark to hit
two
there.
Two away from Gabrick.
There's still a few games left in the season for him to hit that, so... I'm definitely thinking there's probably some possibilities there that he could still hit that.
Hey, don't forget Jordan Greenway's debut.
And Jordan Greenway also made his debut there. Yep. So
hoping for big things for him.
Definitely. If we go back over the week, we mentioned kind of in past podcasts about, down the stretch here, the Wild have a lot of teams that are basically they're all playoff teams that we're matching up against here. In just this last week, we had Nashville twice and then Boston. I don't know if you guys felt it, but I did. I felt a lot in those games. We're definitely starting to get to that playoff atmosphere. Tempers are flaring a little bit, a little extra pushing, a little extra shoving. So with that said, you know, how the Wild handled themselves over the past week in these games, you know, do you think they've handled themselves well? Do you think this is a team that's going to be built to play well in the playoffs?
I think so.
Yeah?
I think they've made a couple of mistakes. They've gotten drawn into penalties too often, so they need to play it calm.
We had another three in the box incident, right?
Yeah. We totally did.
Yep.
Which is always a time for celebration.
Well, man,
but not always.
I was sitting there watching that as I'm in the middle of rehearsals because, you know, YouTube TV and whatnot.
Right.
So I have my tablet set up watching the game and I'm going, oh crap, there's a three in the box. Hold on. Pause. Go back. Picture.
Yep.
How not to swear in church.
How not to swear in church.
That's true. I definitely feel that there's a vibe going on that there just seems to be an increased almost tension.
Yeah.
But like I said, they just got to stop making or getting drawn into penalties. You know, play the game and just realize that if someone's trying to provoke you, just don't get caught. And that happened couple of times last night.
Yep.
Specifically. So
and, well, yeah, and those are the types of things that can
it's gonna kill you.
They can turn a game around quick, you know.
Yeah.
Put a team up a man or two and a goal goes in the net and
not a very totally effective penalty kill.
Honestly, that three in the box, that call on Koivu was pretty bad. I mean, and Koivu, I don't think I've seen him that animated for a while.
Yeah.
Especially towards an official. But he was definitely running his mouth. And, I mean, I think the officiating was pretty horrible, in particular with that game. I think there was a Dan or a Brad on the ice that night.
Very likely could have been. I don't remember what officials were there, but...
No. I know it wasn't Tim Peel, but it was still pretty shitty.
That it was.
So, and also over the week, goaltending. I mean, that wasn't, I wouldn't say, a very big concern. As you look over it in regulation, our goaltenders gave up, you know, one goal in regulation across all three of those games. So, one goal in each game.
Yeah.
So, not one goal in all games. Just to clarify that. But, you know, and I would almost say because we saw samplings from both Dubnyk and from Stalock there, you know, and it appears to me that, you know, maybe our goaltending is starting to peak, and I mean, if it is, this is the right time for your goaltending to peak. Sure. But you know, is it actually the goaltending, or maybe is that defensive core around them? Is that coming in? And
I think you said it right there. Our goaltending is holding up. So where's our offense? Why did our offense dip off?
Well,
yeah,
that's part of a concern. But you know that we haven't been able to, you know, muster up and put pucks in the net. But
I mean, is that the old saying the defense wins the cup?
Defense wins championships.
Defense wins games. True, but at the same time, you've got to score more goals.
Yeah.
So
you can't win if you don't score.
You know, defense can't win a 0-0 game.
Can we hit so many more cliches? At the end of the day, it's the bounce of the ball that matters.
It's the bounce of the ball.
But I mean, we've been defending well,
or the ricochet of the puck.
The carom. Here's a shout out to Anthony LaPena. Yeah.
The carom of
you
the
got
puck.
A carom. You got a rebound on that carom.
Off the stanchion.
That is true.
Yeah.
Oh, God, don't talk about stanchions.
Don't talk about
the stanchion. Don't mention the stanchion.
Yeah.
Don't mention the stanchion.
At the X have not been nice to the Wild.
Or anywhere, really.
Yeah. No.
Although they had a gift last night, but nobody could quite get to it.
Was that in overtime?
No, that was during regulation. But Rene was out to play the puck on the backboards there.
No,
he was coming around, bounced off the stanchion right in the front, open net.
Stahl
couldn't quite get to it for the.
That was right before. Match, that was when it still 1-0, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I was listening to that on the radio on the way in.
Yep.
I'm thinking the goalies are looking good.
Yep.
Stalock's able. I mean, obviously they're going to roll with Dubnyk the whole way out.
Yeah,
but
he's
if
he's our guy this season.
Shits the pot, then
we've got something to back up something and go going, to.
You know, and yeah. and it's not a situation where it was with Camper, where Camper comes in and you're just on pins and needles.
Right.
Know? Staylock, you've got the faith that he can actually do the job that's put in front of him. So.
And I also think that, you know, I don't know that Boudreaux would go this direction, but, you know, if I'm Boudreaux, I'm looking at it as having a couple of options back there at goaltender, and depending on the type of team that I'm playing against, you know, I can play a goalie that matches up better against that team. So
you usually don't have that option come playoffs. No. You're playing the same team over and over.
Right. But that said, though, say we do come up against, you know, Winnipeg that, you know, has a little bit more of the sharpshooters or something like that. I feel that Staylock is better built, more agile to make those plays than Dubnyk. But where if you got, you know, a lot of guys that are crashing the net and stuff, I think Dubnyk is plays well in there too.
So like a bigger body, a bigger body in the net when they're up in the crease.
I mean, watching some highlights from Sealer last game.
I like that kid.
He's definitely keeping people out of the crease. Yeah. He is not allowing people near whoever's in that.
And he's not taking any crap. He's I saw him standing up for people too.
Clayton Stoner.
Stoner
was the same guy. He's just a big physical body.
Yeah.
And he would just punch people out of the crease. Yeah. So
get the hell out of here.
Yeah, you need that. You need so you've got Suter who plays like melting ice cream. And there's nothing fast about it.
Suter is great on the blue line during a power play.
He's great, but when it comes to everyone jumping into the crease and just like crashing your goalie,
he's not the guy you want back.
You need someone who's going to hammer the crap out of people and get them out of the way. And I think Sealer's like proved that in the last couple of games. So he's looking pretty good.
Yeah, he has definitely made a step up. Yeah. I would agree with that. So
I like Sealer. I think he's been a good addition.
Yeah.
And so, you got Sealer. And we've obviously had to have, you know, some people that have needed to step up in Spurgeon's absence here.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully that doesn't linger too far into the playoffs.
Do we have an ETA on his return?
I heard the first round, but, you know, I think you never know. But,
Well, he did almost, like, rip his legs apart.
Yeah, if you go back and watch that
I don't want to watch that
one. It just doesn't look comfortable.
That's about on the same level as watching Joe Theismann's leg break.
Just brutal. Curtis Foster.
Oh, yeah.
The femur.
The femur. That just is like, you just crumble looking at that.
Yes.
We don't want to see that.
Yeah, we don't quite want to see that. But yeah, so that's about the Wild week. I don't know. Should we get into
what else?
Wild card topic? Yeah.
So, we got Jordan Greenway joins the Wild.
Yeah. Frost had mentioned that there earlier.
From
Boston University.
Boston University.
Get it right. It's Terry.
Get it right. I'm sorry, you know.
Jeez. I had that discussion with one of my kids last night.
Sorry.
From BU and BC.
BU and BC. He's from BU.
Let me be safe. From out east.
From out east.
BC's from Boston. Yeah. I've got a friend of mine who went to one of those two, and I don't remember. And every time that they're in the NCAA playoffs, I gotta text them or call them up, be like, BC or BU? And I can hear the eye roll over the phone conversation going, dude, it's whatever. I don't remember. But it's the same thing. I think he was BU.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
Well, my buddy.
Oh, okay.
But, you got BU, BC. So, Greenway coming in. There's been a lot of hype. There's been a lot of stuff with him playing for Team USA in the Olympics. I was listening to KFan the other day, and they were talking about him.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, one dude was like, I think he's going to be a solid NHL player. he's not going to be a top player, but he's also not going to be in and out of the NHL at the same time. So he's going to be sticking around for years.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess I would kind of equate that to maybe like a... I don't know, like a Stahl type player?
Maybe. I don't know. Stahl's
playing right now.
He's like an all-star. Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, I'm hoping good things. From what I saw, he wasn't... And it was his first game in the NHL, so you gotta, you know, he's...
Yeah, and he hasn't even gotten a chance to really do...
He's practicing with all smiles. He got into his first game. He gave up a pass. He was doing his thing. I have high hopes for him, and I think he's going to be solid.
Yeah. And I think that, definitely we probably didn't get much of a sampling.
I think he played, 10 minutes?
Yeah,
that
about 10 minutes last night, so we didn't get much of a sampling there from him. But going into that, I'm glad that the Wild have got him in here and they're, trying to get him some experience now. It's showing that they're committed to that.
Mm-hmm.
I guess what I'm hoping for is that, we don't maybe see the back and forth between the NHL and the AHL with him and bouncing around or anything like
Keep
that.
Keep him up top.
Let's just get him in here, get him going, and
I can agree with that.
I like the line that Boudreaux put him on and put him on with Cullen and Coyle.
Yeah.
You got Cullen, the wily veteran, in the middle, teaching him stuff while he's on.
Yeah.
But just the idea, he's 6'6", 230, I think Falskett said. He's a big dude, so he's got the weight that he can throw around. We've seen Charlie Coyle starting to do his old...
When he wants to.
when he wants to, but we have seen him start to do his thing where he's starting to drop his shoulder and drive into the net.
Coyle, though, not sorry for us not to catch up too soon, but we have seen Coyle actually use his body to move the puck around more and more often, at least this year. I don't know how much it came around last year, but this year in particular.
Last year was kind of a dry spell.
But even though he's not scoring, he's been using his body to move the puck and at least get it in deep and into a good position.
And if you've got someone who's 6'6", 230, who's just crashing the crease on the same line, good things can happen. So let's get it going. And so I like
that'll clear out some defensemen.
Yeah, and I like that lineup, that matchup that Boudreaux put him in. So
I got to say, if he can come in here and start to make an impact right now, and we've got a third line like that, with Coyle and Cullen and then Greenway. And you're talking your third line at that point then?
Yeah.
I'm liking our opportunities then at that point too.
You can't expect rainbows and unicorns straight away.
No.
I think good things can happen. So if they can hold him up and if he can make the playoff lineup, then why not? Give it a shot. Roll the dice.
I like to look on the bright side, though. I like to think positively.
That's
everything is going to be golden.
There we go. Very zen of you.
Yes. Zen and Kanopka of me?
You need to be sitting there stroking her bunny here and drinking some fine wine.
Where's our wine at?
Yeah.
Where's our wine and bunnies during the podcast?
That's what we need.
I forgot my bunny.
I think we got a few questions.
We got a little bit coming up though. While we're finishing off the season,
right?
We got a home and home with Dallas.
Four games left here now. Yeah.
Are we down to four?
We're down to four
games.
Holy
crap!
Yes, the season is
getting real.
Coming to a close. Yes, it's getting real.
We do have a home and home with Dallas.
Yeah.
I think there's a. If I remember correctly, there's a day in between. It's not back to back,
but it's home and home. Yep.
And then we have Edmonton and Anaheim, which I believe we're on the road for.
Yes. I think Edmonton's the only one who is not a playoff team.
But
the way they've been playing. Well, that's true. Dallas is, well, and, but they kept themselves alive, I believe, from what I saw. So they're still playing. They're still playing for something.
So then they did not go 9 straight games with the loss.
No. So Dallas will still be playing for something. So
Dallas is going to be funny. And Dallas has always been a wild killer in Dallas, except for the past like year. Well, I think once Boudreaux came in, I think that is finally next.
We've had a lot of success. I think. That might have been something that I think we actually might have forgot to mention that happened over the last week, too. Was it not Boudreaux's 500th win?
It was Boudreaux's 500th win.
At home here, right?
Yep.
So,
yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was another big milestone. Yeah. So, I guess we can't complain there, you know. He's brought in some success for us. I think he's the third or fourth fastest to get
second.
To,
second fastest.
Second fastest.
Yep, second to fastest to get to 500 behind. Scotty Bowman.
Scotty Bowman. Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
So, yeah. All right, I'm just taking a quick look at the standings here to see where Dallas is.
How are we looking?
Well, Dallas is at 86 points right now, and in the wild card, you got St. Louis and Anaheim at 91. So, if Dallas makes a wild card, you've bet on that on Vegas because you can come in with
some
money.
You're taking me to Vegas so we can bet? Is yes. that what I just heard?
Yes, Jive, I am. Let's yes. go to Vegas then.
All right.
Yep.
We're
going to drive all night.
No. Wait, Jive.
You got to drive?
Jive.
Well, swingers, dude.
Oh, okay.
Show me the money.
All right.
We do have our bets in from the last time you guys were down there, right? I remember that 1 year it never happened.
That was just last year that it never happened.
Oh, so we don't have it in it?
No, we don't.
Oh.
Every time
no,
I went
no, we got it this
time,
year.
No, every time I went there,
it's the year before.
Yeah.
It was the year before, so we're good for this year.
Okay.
I don't know. What I mean is that if Dallas makes the playoffs, yeah, you know, they've got a someone's throwing them a life rope. So
yeah,
Dallas is 4 points behind, 5 points behind Anaheim right
they
now.
Are.
Yeah,
with how many games to go? 4 games or so.
5.
Yeah. So I mean, it's slim to none. So
it is.
You
but
know,
if they're playing us for 2 of them, they're definitely gonna be still aiming for us.
Yeah, they will be.
Our big opponent right now is going to be St. Louis, but I mean, would we be better off dropping St. Louis and playing against Vegas?
Yes.
Definitely go hang out.
Tank it.
No. Tank. I would rather see us play St. Louis, to be honest with you.
No.
Well, no, first round would be looking Winnipeg or Vegas if we dropped it to St. Louis.
Jesus.
So we could actually drop our
Can
points.
We take a bye?
That's
fucking horrible.
That's what I'm saying. Take the rest of the season.
We're the only team to completely beat Vegas this year.
Yeah, true. But still, Vegas,
playoffs are a second season.
There's some kind of mojo going on with Las Vegas.
Could you imagine the playoffs down there?
Oh my god.
Oh man,
that'd be awesome.
Well, the hangovers would hurt.
Yes.
All right, boys. I think we got some questions for us.
Yeah, should we get into the Twitter questions?
Yes. Let's do this.
All right.
So, Jive, you're up first.
No, there's nothing there.
So, Frost,
yes,
you're up first. I'll follow right down.
I gotcha. All right. So, from Crease and Assist, Mr. Derek Felska. He's looking at his own NHL jersey power rankings, in which he has Minnesota North Stars as number 1, the Quebec Nordiques number 2, Montreal Canadiens number 3, Bruins at number 4, Hartford Whalers at 5th, 6th of the Philadelphia Flyers, 7th being the Edmonton Oilers, 8th Detroit Red Wings, 9th Atlanta Flames, and the 10th Atlanta Flames, seriously? And the 10th being the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Oh.
How about you at 3 in the box?
Okay.
First of all, who power ranks their jerseys?
Felska.
Oh, have you seen who you have seen yes. his closet?
Who has enough time to do a power ranking of their
He's
own
one of the
jerseys.
Few guys that actually has enough jerseys to lay them out and
this
power rank them.
You gotta love the guy.
Okay,
but what's the definition? I mean, what makes it so great?
So, that's okay, I agree with your first four, maybe five even with Hartford, six with Philly. Detroit's got to be at least bumping somebody down, though. I think Detroit might have to move up to, like, number three and bump everybody else down. Yeah, and get Tampa Bay out of there. And get the Blackhawks in there. Blackhawks is just an iconic jersey. Yep.
Well, that's controversial these days, though.
It is.
Yeah. You've seen how many teams have had to do away with their stuff.
It's true. Chief Wahoo's leaving the Indians. He's gone.
Yeah.
Personally, I gotta say you gotta go to the Bruins and
Bruins,
and maybe because I'm partial to the B.
Yeah.
But I mean, they're an original team.
Yeah.
1924, and it's an iconic brand. And you know, I'm married to a brand management specialist.
Oh.
And she knows the power of the brand. And you look wherever you go, I mean, you see the spoke B.
You know what Bruins. You're looking at.
You know, no, you're not looking at Brett.
Boston's going to be up there.
Yeah. So, and I mean, I don't know. Obviously, I'm foreign and I never grew up watching the North Stars. But that is obviously a damn iconic jersey.
Okay.
I might have to slide the Nordiques down, chuck the Blackhawks in there, but definitely the Red Wings. They're up.
So, okay, Frost,
the Red Wings is a pretty good
one. I mean, if you look at a lot of the Minnesota high school teams that are in the high school playoffs, they're all playing off of an iconic jersey.
That is true, yep.
And
look at St. Cloud's. I mean, that's freaking Montreal.
Yeah, absolutely. The St. Cloud's State. I mean, that's the seat.
Yeah.
You know, and
Lietz.
It is absolutely that. And so, I mean, Lightning. Sorry, Felska. Lightning have to go away. Atlanta Flames have to go away.
Because they're Calgary now.
Well.
And they always now will be.
Yeah, exactly.
Just saying, throwing it out there.
Coming from a Calgary fan.
I got my bases covered.
But, I mean, you have to realize, though, I mean, you got to look at some of the famous icons and look at what's on Minnesota high school sweaters these days. And those are the ones that are going to stay around. Those are the ones that are going to have staying power, and there's a reason for it, because they're simplistic, they're not overcomplicated. It's not like the Hurricanes where it looks like a toilet bowl.
Yeah.
Depends which way it's flushing.
It's not like the Wild or Jive. We had the question about the Wild sweater. Does it look like a, what was it? Like
is it a loon
is
on
it a
loon?
A lake?
Or is it or some sort of an animal? What kind of animal is it?
No, and dude was like, yeah, I never thought about it as a loon on a lake. And it's like, right. Holy crap, neither did we.
It's one of those ones where you see it, but it's not going to evoke an instant recognition.
Right.
You know, like the Spokane.
Not like the B or
the Montreals.
And
or
how,
the Black
how long,
Hulk,
how long
the
is
wing?
That Boston, you know, it's been that way.
Yeah, it
like,
is.
Same thing with the Habs. With the Montreal
Habs.
That's
the test of time.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the Maple Leafs.
How is Toronto not on here?
How is not on that list?
Yeah. Maple Leafs is a good one.
Yeah.
I love that. The simple blue and white.
Yeah.
And their sweater really has not changed from the beginning to where they're at now.
Yeah.
And I think the Habs are about the same way, too. Like the Canadians.
Yeah.
You know, it's
the damn Americans.
Or even the Bruins. I don't think the Bruins have changed.
There have been slight changes, but
they're not,
I mean, it's essentially
the same. They've had the ones with the bear.
Yeah, but everyone has a second jersey.
Yeah, you know, or a third.
Third, yeah.
Alternate.
Yes.
You know what I really like, though, is I like when the Rangers actually do, like, the Rangers going down at a diagonal.
Yeah, with the script.
With the script, where it just says
that's
Rangers.
Classic
style.
Yeah. And, I mean, the same thing, it evokes the same way with the old U.S. jersey.
Yeah.
With the shield on the front.
Yeah.
I mean, all these modern jerseys with all the fancy, like, embedded stars and shit like
oh,
that.
Yeah. Oh, the, going back to the All-Star game.
Oh, the All-Star game. Was horrible.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
Just give him a shield.
Right.
I mean, it's classic. It's yeah. something that, simple hit, classic.
Yeah.
All That's right, my so. Take on it.
All right. So, next question comes in from Torpilato?
That's Tor.
Torpilato. 12. Tor changed his Twitter handle.
Her.
Tor changed her. And now it's a, see, it's a tongue twister. Tor changed her Twitter handle. There we go.
Torpilato 12.
Torpilato 12. Oh, let's see here. Three in the box. What's your guys? What's your guys over under prediction that Zucker's is re-signed this offseason along with Dumba and everyone else due for a pay upgrade? I don't know exactly who all else is due for a pay upgrade at this point.
Zucker's not leaving.
Zucker after this season, he is not leaving.
Zucker will be around longer than Dumba.
Yeah, he's got a wife now here too that's you know, stood up here, so yeah, he's not going anywhere. That
doesn't make a difference, but
he's not going to move his wife. She's still around here, man.
He Zucker's going to be around. I think we're finally actually seeing Zucker as Zucker should be.
Yep.
Kind of like and I think Russo was mentioning this, and I could be wrong on who said it with Holla. In Vegas now.
Mm-hmm.
Holla would never have been up on the lines in playing the time that he is now if he is still in Minnesota. So Holla's actually got his time in Vegas for his time to shine, and it's better for him.
I'm happy for him.
Yeah. For him,
because I liked him as a player.
Absolutely,
a lot,
and I think he's an outstanding player.
Yep.
I would love to have him here, but he would not be getting the ice time or the lines that he's getting down there. Zucker is getting the ice time in the lines that he deserves up here. And he's scoring the goals that he should get. I mean, he's a 30-goal scorer this year.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going, his contract, he'll be signing at least another 6-year deal with the Wild.
Yeah.
I guarantee it by the time his contract is done.
And I think, I mean, for as tight as we were on the cap space earlier this season, I think there have been a couple of different moves and, you know, correct me if I'm wrong. Dalsky, you can fact check the shit out of me.
He would.
But I think we've got enough room to make it work.
Yeah.
To sign him for longer. Dumba, there's a lot of people who hate him. I love the guy.
I'm with you, man.
Sign him long term. Yes. I mean, just sign him up. Because
he makes
the two way.
Yeah. He makes a couple of defensive mistakes here and there. But
he gives you that up.
But the upside of his offensive,
like
it more than makes it up.
It's like Burns.
Yes.
I've been a long proponent of that, and I've been saying that for a long time, that he is very much like Burns.
Yeah.
And that he's just, he needs to develop.
Train.
Here's a train. That'll be in the camera.
Train!
But he just needs to get past. He's in that weird like tween moment right now, and he just needs to get past that. And as soon as everything clicks, Dumba's gonna be awesome. He's gonna be awesome.
Deadly.
I think this is telling us too something. Like Dumba's like a freight train.
Here comes a train.
Freight train.
Yeah.
Yeah. When he rolls in, then
coming in
stuff. That's right.
But still,
we'll get him back again. He's coming back. Watch.
All right. Frost, you're up next.
All right, next question also comes from Mr. Derek Falska at Crease and Assist. At three in the box, why can't the league seem to identify what truly is goaltender interference? And if such a call is made, how can they not call a penalty, as was the case on Sunday against the Bruins?
Well,
incidental. The word incidental.
Incidental.
Incidental contact is
right.
The key. I mean... How do you prove that someone didn't mean to?
Right. Or how do you also prove that, I think it was Stalock the other night, you know, I agree. He took, you know, some contact, got some elbow. But, I mean, there was some definite, you know, stage antics.
Are you
as he flops backwards.
Because Dubnyk did that, like,
Dubnyk did that against Oscar level
last night.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Dubnyk was like, and I think.
I mean, he went down quicker than a $2 hooker.
Oh.
He deserved to go like a Chinese diver. He was fucking brilliant.
Well, he's right up there with the Swedish diving team.
That's right. I tell you what, if you had a look at Twitter last night, and you were looking at the Prince fans following this game, my God, they just blew up on Dubnyk's dive. It was brilliant.
I mean, Felske even said, because this is not the first time that this has been brought up in a three-in-the-box conversation.
Oh, no.
And Felske had even alluded before that Dubnyk is one of the definite Oscar winners when it comes to acting on getting interfered with.
Right.
Which, yes, he is.
Yep.
And to be quite honest, I think it bothers me like it bothers me getting a embellishment call.
Yeah.
Like, if you're gonna call embellishment on somebody, why is that original penalty still there? Because they were acting this shit up. How can you have both? How can you have a penalty and an embellishment?
So because someone the tripped stick and was someone, there, what? But it was also
that's
well
true.
Up,
yeah. So I mean. Sure, like the stick was in the skates, and it caused him to trip, so that is a penalty.
Mm-hmm.
And then you went and flopped out, then that's a penalty for embellishment. But
you went drama queen on us.
So you have to call the original penalty, but when it comes to goaltender interference, if you look at the eye in the sky camera shots, and you've got the goaltender, and you've got two guys defending, three guys crashing the crease. Was it? There's six guys in a very small space. So, and the referees have to call it at real time, real speed, right? They can't call a pause to the play and then make a penalty. They have to call a penalty or not a penalty.
And you can't call the bloody scene. And you can't call a penalty after the fact because of a review.
Yeah, exactly.
No, in that part I get. But what I've been seeing, and especially from Dubnyk, and I know exactly what Felske is talking about, is him almost reaching out and then
trying to draw him
animating
in.
That he got nailed harder than what he did after he was kind of reaching out outside the blue paint.
Yeah.
I guess my the goalies are making this bad for other goalies, and it's the goalie should not be touched inside that paint until that puck comes in there.
Maybe that's the definition, is that if the goalie's inside the crease...
Well, that's supposed to be the definition.
It is supposed to be. However, if a goalie is moving out to the play...
They should be free game.
It's free game. I mean, it's the same thing. But
just like a goalie behind the net?
It's like behind the net.
If they're playing the puck back there and they get nailed... That should not be goalie interference. That goalie is behind the net. He's outside of his crease. But they've called goalie interference on that.
And really what they need to do is bring the actual crease back. So they knocked off the crease. You know, they cut it off on the sides of the net there and stuff like that. They need to move that half circle right back out there. No players are allowed in there, right? You just don't allow players in there. You're in there, and that's
you're allowed in there after the puck enters, and then after that, it's free game.
It's the Brett Hull rule.
Yeah,
that
basically.
Is. Yeah,
maybe not. Maybe we get rid of some of this chippiness and stuff.
I just think we got
to move on.
Too hard. It's a tough one.
So, Ollie's are from Creason Assist. Derek asked us. St. Cloud State's Bob Matosko is the next Gophers head coach. Will he be the coach to bring the program back to an elite level? Right now, I don't see any reason anybody would want to necessarily come to Minnesota for hockey right now.
Really?
Not to U of M, because you have so many outlying colleges and universities. You got Mankato State that's doing well. You got St. Cloud State. You got UMD. You got Bemidji State.
And now you're bringing the success from St. Cloud State down to the U.
But the thing is, they're also you don't have the, it's not the WCHA anymore, right?
No, it's not.
You're in Big Ten, so you're also playing against teams that.
And it's not going to change. It's the way it is now, and that's how the lay of the land is laid out. this is still Minnesota. There's still plenty of room for success
here. I think the outlying colleges are now making a bigger impact than the U of M actually is. The U of M is not the powerhouse that it used to be.
I think it's a matter of if you change the recruiting, right? And okay, so there's been an onus on Minnesota players lately to the detriment of the program. Look elsewhere. Yeah. Like, look the way it was 10 years ago, 15 years ago.
Right.
And unfortunately, I'm that old enough to remember that. But look outside of the box, so to speak.
And
bring other players in. And the more players that you can bring in from elsewhere into it, I mean, it may make the Big Ten better, potentially. But the Big Ten,
I mean,
they killed it with killing off the WCHA.
They did.
That's it.
But it is the way it is now, and it's not going to change.
Make some changes.
Well, and to play a little devil's advocate, and especially what I said, the WCHA was definitely a powerhouse. And we were all pretty much not involved, but we were all had our claws dug into the WCHA.
Yeah.
Although we like St. Cloud, we like UMD, we like Bemidji once they joined it, Mankato,
yeah.
U of M, like we all had some sort of tie to it that we liked.
Yeah.
And breaking that up, I mean, I can kind of see where the NCAA was going, but it still, it killed, I think, the U of M hockey program as it is.
And is that what killed it? Or, I mean, they're still, you know, we've seen over the years here, you know, the Gopher football team, they got a brand new football stadium. We've seen, you know, the Twins get a new stadium. We've seen a new hockey arena go up. But still,
they need to rebuild Mariucci?
They might need to do
Mariucci's
something.
Well, Mariucci's not that old. And Mariucci's still one of the bigger.
Yeah, it's 10,000.
Yeah.
Right, but maybe it needs to be built up a little bit.
I don't know.
I think the only few that I know that are bigger is North Dakota and Wisconsin. But
Wisconsin's
playing, I think, in a
it also might not
civic
be about
arena.
Just size, though, either. You know, more about, you know, the ambiance that they get there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they redid it and put a nice little front on it.
But you can get season tickets now. You used to not be able to do that.
Exactly. I read an article not long ago, and honestly, if I can find it, I will find the link to it and share it with you. It was about how they can make the Minnesota Gophers better, the attendance better.
Yeah.
It was very intriguing, but I think recruiting's a big one.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, if you can get the people hooked in,
we're talking about even going out of the state.
Keep them for 4 years. Keep them for that full, instead
it's,
of like
it's,
1 year.
It's
keep
tough,
them for 4 years.
Especially with the NHL.
We gotta move it, boys.
All right. So next question comes in from Crease and it says, three in the box, Stern Pinball is making an Iron Maiden pinball game. It has been ages since we've seen an NHL-themed pinball machine. Any chance we see another one? If so, features in that machine?
At the moment, I say no, but if they're going to do one, it's got to be with, like...
Well, since Stern is out of the Chicagoland area, I would guess it would be, you know...
Kane Taze.
Yeah, Blackhawks theme, at least. Maybe not,
I think Stern's been a little better about that, but...
Yeah.
I can't speak to this. I'm not that familiar with the pinball maker.
What kind of features, though, would you put in a hockey pinball game?
You'd have to have a shootout feature.
Definitely.
The second level?
Yeah.
Where you're actually battling.
Feature, like a one-on-one?
And, like, every single hockey arena nowadays has this awesome little display coming down from the top ceiling. So you'd have to have, like, you know, the four-sided video replay thing that would sit, like, in the middle of the play field and, you know, display different things. What else could you throw in there? The flippers could be...
the octopus has
goalie,
to be
the blockers.
Yeah,
hey,
goalie blockers. Yeah.
Jive, remember, like, on Ghostbusters where you got Slimer that comes up? You got the octopus that drops out.
Detroit's octopus.
To get the hat trick.
Yeah.
Nice.
Ooh. Yeah. We need to start designing this.
And
stop giving Stern our ideas. We'll go to Jersey Jack.
And something about goalie interference.
Yes, and something about goalie interference. Frost, what's our next question?
All right, once
you put the post up in the middle, that's the goalie interference. No, that would be goalie. That'd be the goalie's best friend. The post would come up in the middle. That's good. That's good. Sorry.
All right, next one. We got another one from Crease and Assist. Three in the box. Do you guys have any pregame superstitions before you watch or attend a Minnesota Wild game? And specifically at Jive Midnight, did you have any superstitions when you played the game? And which NHL superstition is the best, most strange, or disgusting?
Okay. First of all,
that in line in
Buka.
Sambuca?
Sambuca is right. Our pregame roast superstition. That's three in the box.
I like to have a can of the Trooper in the fridge.
That's not
it
bad.
Worked last night. You know I what? Cracked the can, Stahl scored. Boom.
Perfect.
Game
Did you only have one can in the...
I did, and then I fell asleep on the couch.
See?
Frost, did you...
You let us down.
I had one left.
You did not see my tweet from last night.
I was down here.
I was actually right over there, kid, so you can turn your camera around and look at Star Wars. I was playing Star Wars. The game was up on the TV.
But you were not the Jedi Multiball champion.
No.
I put on the Trooper 30 seconds before Stahl scored that goal.
Bingo.
And he slammed the Trooper.
So we had Trooper power.
That's right. That's right.
We had Trooper power going.
I don't think I did anything to help that situation.
That's okay, Jeff. That's okay.
That's okay.
You're an old man.
Thank you.
So, Jeff, do you have any superstitions when you played the game? So I think what he's kind of alluding to, Greenway actually has his tongue out of his laces.
Yeah, it's the way people lace them up, the way people take their sticks.
Yep.
It's like what they do, how many, like, which players run down onto the ice in which order, that kind of stuff. Did you do any of that when you were
there?
I didn't have any superstitions. A lot of times I always wore like the, you know,
same t-shirts,
okay. But they stunk pretty bad.
All right, what about the grossest, like most disgusting NHL superstition?
Never change your jock strap.
Okay.
When it stands up.
What about the octopus?
Or the rat?
Yeah.
I mean,
the octopus signifies an octopus.
Yeah, but yeah, the 8 wins that Detroit needed to get to the cup.
Right.
However, if you're smuggling an octopus,
how are you getting that in there?
Oh God.
And what are your body parts going to smell like?
Exactly. Oh. And is the octopus really dead?
You gotta pull it. You gotta throw it out.
You gotta pull it out. The extra bits come with it.
It's like, oh crap!
An octopus animal.
Right.
All right. Last question. It comes from our very own Angry Finn.
Where the hell is he?
Korea?
Tokyo.
Yeah. Oh, Tokyo.
Japan or Korea? Yes.
That was probably really bad. I'm sorry. Cut that.
You guys always joke about jive time. In quotes. Why is Jive always late? And why was he late tonight? Actually, he was not late tonight.
I wasn't late tonight.
So, Aaron...
What is this guy calling me?
I have no idea. Hey, so, anyways...
You can call me anything. Just don't call me late for dinner.
Oh, well, we had dinner tonight. That's how you showed up on time.
And you did eat.
I did. Yeah.
He grazed.
He's still late after me and Frost, though.
That's true. But
burger baskets.
Aaron, you're out of line, son.
All right.
I'm always on time.
Let's start with our guest tonight, Mr. Frost.
Hello.
Where can people find what you're doing?
I'm on the Twitterverse at MNFrostyBoy. Instagramming at the same, and it usually links. And I'm also on WordPress at 50,000 Unstoppable Watts.
Nice. And yes. You guys should check that out because he's got some very good stuff.
He's got some good posts.
And I'm
there.
In the process of writing a whole long spiel about my trip to New Zealand. And then every other random thing that comes into my brain. So,
right. I want your snowblower, by the way.
Oh, you do?
Yes.
Okay, you can rent it.
I can rent it.
Jack, you know what we forgot to ask him all night?
What's that?
How to actually speak New Zealand.
Are we going to have to take that to another one?
Yeah.
I'm still digesting the way the talent's left.
In the next episode. Jive, where can people find you?
You can find me. I'm not always there, but I'm on Twitter. I'm at Jive Midnight. So, follow me there.
And my name's Kenny. You can find me at NostraKennius on Twitter and Instagram. And Jive's pulling what I do to my nieces and nephews. My nibblings.
My nibblings, yes.
So, yeah, hopefully you guys enjoyed this, and we will see you next time.
It's been fun.
Woo! Cheers.